Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn more, or plan to join us in person at one of our two locations once it is safe to do so. Now, worship is about to begin. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning. My name is Sherry Parker Lewis. I'm the senior pastor at First United Methodist Church, Brighton in Whitmore Lake. And it is a blessing to be in worship with you this morning. Welcome. Wanted to let you know that today we are celebrating the strength of the church. You are the church, and the church is alive and well, and we will celebrate that today. I wanted to point out to you today that we have a prayer quilt, and I invite you to keep her in prayer. The knots of prayer will be tied by Barb Terry after this worship, and the quilt will be distributed. We are so grateful that we're able to carry this ministry on. Now, remembering that God is good all the time, let us begin worship in song.
Good morning. I'm Sue Urban, and I invite you to join me in the opening prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and we shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit did instruct the hearts of the faithful, grant that by the same Holy Spirit we may be truly wise and ever enjoy your consolations. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Eric, for sharing your gift of music this morning. My name is Pastor Bob Fuchs, and as we enter into a time of offering, of giving, I just wanted to take a couple moments and share about John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, and his view on giving. He believed when it came to money that we should earn all we can, save all we can, and give all we can. Now, when he looked at earning all we can, he did not mean that it was out of greed, but he believed that everyone should be involved in productive labor and earning their living. Now, during this time of pandemic, that has been difficult for some, and it is a challenge for many right now. Know that this, though, the opportunity to earn will come again. Wesley also believed that we should save all we can. Now, when we look at saving all we can, it didn't mean to hoard or store up abundance of treasures here on earth. It was to have enough for us for when those challenging times come about, or in those later years of our life when we're not earning the same way. John Wesley said we should focus on what it is we need, not what we want. And when it comes to giving all we can, Wesley firmly believed that once we had enough that we needed, even before we got there, we should be giving. And we should be giving to help others, to the poor, to those in need. It was the attention to that we want to give to giving this morning. Knowing that there are so many different ways to give right now. Back in Wesley's day, the only way to give was face-to-face, or putting it in a basket or handing it to someone so that it could be used to further the work of the church. Well, today there's so many different ways that we can give. We can mail our offering in to the church. We can have an electronic fund transfer happen on a recurring basis for our regular giving. Or we can go online and click a few buttons and share our resources with others. And you can find information about all of these different options at the church website, www.brightonfumc.org. Know that those gifts that you're giving further the church's work, not just here in Brighton and Whitmore Lake, but around the state and around the world. Now, before I turn things over to Echoes of Praise, I just want to take a few more moments of your time. Today is the Reverend Dr. Sherry Parker Lewis's last Sunday preaching at First United Methodist Church in Brighton and Whitmore Lake. Now, Sherry came to us in 2008, and for those of you who remember, right after that, there was a financial crisis. And as Sherry is reaching the end of her time here, we're in a different kind of crisis, one of pandemic and of social unrest. Through it all, Pastor Sherry has approached it with wisdom, with leadership, with a steady hand, with a vision not for just today, but for the future. And she took that vision of the future, and when it came time to look at the way we did things here at First United Methodist Church, Pastor Sherry said, we need to do Vital Church Initiative. We need to look at who we are and see where it is we're supposed to be going. And she led us down that path. And in late 2017, when we were approached about adopting our Whitmore Lake campus, Pastor Sherry was the first to say, yes, we should do this. Pastor Sherry, from a personal level, you have helped and guided me as I went from being one of your congregation members to one of your colleagues. As I went from sitting in the pew to being involved in vocational ministry, I offer my thanks to you for your wisdom, for your collaboration, for the guidance you have shown me, for the compassion you have shown me. I look at you first as my pastor, and then as my colleague, but always as my friend. Together, you and I in this church, we have laughed together, we've cried together. We've been serious together, we've been silly together. There have been difficult times, there have been wonderful times. We have grieved together, and we have celebrated together. I wish you and George Godspeed in all of your endeavors going forward in your lives together as you begin this new chapter. And know that your legacy, the touch that you have had here at First United Methodist Church, the touch that you've had in each of our lives, will continue long after you have gone. You are loved, and you will be missed.
Today's scripture lesson is from Colossians 2, verses 1 through 10. For I want you to know how much I am struggling for you, and for those in Laodicea, and for all who have not seen me face to face. I want their hearts to be encouraged and united in love, so that they may have all the riches of assured understanding and have the knowledge of God's mystery, that is, Christ himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I am saying this so that no one may deceive you with plausible arguments. For though I am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, and I rejoice to see your morale and the firmness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the universe, and not according to Christ. For in him the fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have come to fullness in him, who is the head of every ruler and authority. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. My name is Sherry Parker Lewis. I am the senior pastor at First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake, and this is my last message that I will share with this congregation. Someone this week asked me, how will you, in one message, condense nearly 30 years of ministry? And this is what I responded. A preacher does not preach what they want to say, but what God leads them to say so that people might hear it. So I have to tell you what I'm going to preach today. I'm going to preach Jesus Christ, and we're going to look at Scripture. But before I do that, I do want to say that I am deeply, deeply grateful for the privilege of serving here at First United Methodist Church. You have invited me into the most traumatic and tragic moments in your lives, and also into the most wonderful. I have been humbled to serve along you and inspired by your faithfulness and generous spirit. You have lifted me in prayer. You have embraced me in friendship. And quite frankly, you have schooled me in mercy, in compassion, in justice seeking, and service. Paul wrote in some way to all of the churches that he served, I thank God for you. And so in the spirit of the Apostle Paul, I say this morning, from the bottom of my heart, I thank God for you. The preaching text this morning from Colossians was chosen, oh gosh, I thought about this months ago. But I am convinced that the Holy Spirit was truly at work in the choosing of this scripture because it fits exactly for today. So, what was happening in the church of Colossae when Paul wrote to them? Bible scholars disagree a bit on exactly what was happening. But it is clear that Paul felt there was some threat, probably some ideological or theological threat to the foundations of their faith. This is how strongly he felt about contending against that threat. At the beginning of chapter 2, he says, I want you to know how much I am struggling for you. That word struggling can be interpreted as agonizing, fighting for, waging a war against. Paul wanted the church to rise up and was doing all that he could in direction and prayer and encouragement to make that happen. Now, I think that chapter 2 gives the believer a wonderful idea of what to remember and what to do in the midst of struggle. And I want to share again specifically two verses this morning that I think speak to this. This is from Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7. Hear these again. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Now, one of the first things that Paul points out in this chapter is that the church must remember that they are rooted in the faith. This Greek term for rooted, actually, in our language today, one of the ways that we use it is we talk about rhizomes. It's a kind of root, a special kind of root, that takes hold and spreads laterally. Think about irises, that the root denotes one plant rising up the blades of an iris that are in bloom right now, but it also spreads laterally so that more blades rise. What Paul suggested is the kind of rootedness that the church has is one that will spread. It is not a singular root for a singular plant, but one that will spread, divide, and continue to spread by the power of the Holy Spirit. We might think about the roots that we are part of, beginning with the apostles of the early church, and how, despite risks to their own lives, they continued to declare that Jesus Christ was Lord. In our own heritage, we want to remember John Wesley. You knew I was not going to get through my last sermon without mentioning John Wesley, the founder of Methodism. We want to remember that John understood that people needed to have a heart for Scripture and to know Scripture and to be involved and included daily in spiritual practices. That is our roots. And we also remember the roots of our heritage, even in this area. When faithful Methodists traveled to settle in Michigan to build new homes here, and they brought their faith to Brighton and to Whitmore Lake and to Hamburg and Pinckney, to Heartland and Gregory and South Lyon and Howell, they brought their faith with them and said, "We will meet and we will study the Bible and we will make a difference in this world." Those are the roots of our heritage. And we also remember not only our roots in piety and being connected with God, but our roots in social justice. From the very beginning, when John Wesley started the practices for Methodism, he spoke out against social injustice, so that we understand today as United Methodists that we abhor violence, that we reject disparities of treatment, and that we will not be still and we will not be silent. Paul tells the church in Colossae that they are built up on Christ. Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. Jesus Christ is our strength and our fortress, our wall against which anything can try but will not prevail. And it is a strength that is as strong as the embrace that you will have around those loved ones that you have not been able to embrace in these last few months. We have a heritage that gives us a call and a capacity to be light to the area and to nations and to change this world. And yet, Paul offers in this passage a sweet balance between who we are, where we stand, and what we do. This is the way he says it. He says, "Live your lives in Jesus Christ." We know who we are. We stand rooted in Christ. Now, Paul says, this is what we are about as well. Where the scripture says, "Live your lives," the literal translation is, "Walk in Jesus." And we're talking no distancing here, no social distancing. We are to walk side by side with Jesus. And this is the reality of our dynamic life. Life is always changing. I have witnessed that in my 12 years here in ministry. Who would have known that we would have two congregations that would become one? We have said goodbye to beloved members of this congregation, and yet we have welcomed beloved members as well. We have seen children baptized and grow up to profess their own faith in Jesus Christ. And we have responded in the midst of disasters, whether it be in Flint or mid-Michigan, in New Orleans or Haiti. We have been present and have been consistently present for those in need in this area and circling outward. The way we respond, the way we worship, our styles may evolve, but we understand in the midst of that who we are and what we are about. I have to tell you, I know about change. It's been 12 years. I didn't have gray hair when I came here, and I'm telling you the truth. I have gained weight. I've lost weight. I've gained weight. In this place, a surprise to me, I fell in love and got married. Change is part of life. Life is dynamic and sweeping, and we are alive in the midst of it, not only as individuals, but as the church. And here's the thing that Paul makes clear. If we move forward but forget who we are, then we are simply adrift in action. And if we remember who we are, but refuse to evolve and change in these dynamic times, then we will fade away and die. These are extraordinary times. Right now, this week, we have been reminded of systemic racism in this nation. We are reminded of the potential for economic devastation, even for those who are near and dear to us. And we live in fear of a pandemic or in rejection of those who do fear. And in the midst of all of it, the hardest thing is not knowing. But I want to tell you that in the midst of this, as faithful people, we live in an amazing sacred balance of being rooted in a faith that cannot be shaken in the name of Jesus Christ and walking in the light of Jesus Christ in the actions we determine to do. In these last few weeks, I have been reading a new book. It's called The Splendid and the Vile by Eric Larson. It came out in February. It is the account of Winston Churchill's first year as prime minister. He became prime minister in 1940 in May. In June of 1940, Germany invaded France, and it was clear to Great Britain that France would most likely fall, even though their defenses had been strong. Great Britain determined that invasion of their island was imminent. On June 4th, Winston Churchill stood before the House of Commons and the Parliament, and he said these lines, "We shall go on to the end." He said, "We shall never surrender." And on June 18th, he again spoke to the Parliament and to the House of Commons. And I want to share with you a portion of his last words from that speech, keeping in mind that this speech was broadcast across Great Britain for a people who expected at any time that attack would begin. Winston Churchill said this, "I expect that the Battle of Britain is about to begin. Upon this battle depends the survival of Christian civilization. Upon it depends our own British life and the long continuity of our institutions and our empire. The whole fury and might of the enemy must very soon be turned on us. Hitler knows that he will have to break us in this island or lose the war. If we stand up to him, all Europe may be free, and life of the world may move forward into broad, sunlit uplands. But if we fail, then the whole world, including the United States, including all that we have known and cared for, will sink into the abyss of a new dark age. Let us, therefore, brace ourselves to our duties, and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its Commonwealth last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their finest hour." The bombs began to fall on July 10th, and they fell constantly in the daytime and at night, on the city of London and on factories. And beginning on November 14th of 1940, these 80 years ago, the Germans began to firebomb entire cities in Great Britain. And this is what happened. The people fought defensively and offensively, and there was great devastation and death and destruction. There was suffering, not only because of loss of property and people. There was suffering because of the shortage of so many things. and there was suffering because they just didn't know what would happen next. But they overcame. What did they have? They had a foundation that united them, an understanding that their island nation had stood against tyranny and invasion for years and would continue to do so. What did they have? They understood what they were about, because their salvation wasn't only theirs, but it was the salvation of the free world. And they stood up so that the world, even today, 80 years later, says of Britain, that was their finest hour. These last months have been hard. And my leave-taking is complicated, and I grieve for myself and for George as we say goodbye to you in these complicated ways. I grieve for the rhythms of the church that we miss, for worship and for meeting together, for celebrating the great seasons of the church. I grieve. And I grieve with you in the difficulties that you have experienced in your life, whether it is separation from loved ones, sickness and loss, loss of income, or simply that feeling that we just don't know what will come next. And I suggest to you that we are on the edge of a new era as a church that will include profound shifts. There will be a hybrid going forward of online presence and being present together. We will have to be creative in the new ways that we serve, so that we continue to reach people in powerful ways with the name of Jesus Christ, being the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. But I want to tell you that there is good news, and I want to share that with you. The first is that you will be receiving as your pastors Reverend Lindsay Hall and Reverend John Reynolds. They are faithful. And they come into the church at such a time as this because of God's Spirit moving. And God will put God's heavy hand of grace and strength on them, and they will shepherd you and lead you in this new way in wonderful and surprising ways. And I share this good news as well. You know who you are. You know the foundations on which you stand and the heritage which you honor. You give thanks to grandmothers and grandfathers, mothers and fathers, friends and saints who have brought you this far. And we recognize that heritage in the church as well. And we stand on the foundation which is Jesus Christ. And we will not be moved. This is the body of Christ. It may not look the same, but it is the same. And let me suggest also that you know what you're doing. You know your imperative to walk with Jesus, walk in Jesus, to walk side by side with Jesus. And I believe that we will, in the days ahead, brace ourselves, rooted and built up in Christ. And we will bear each other, and we will bear those who are in need, and we will walk in Christ. And in a year, and in 10 years, and in generations to come, those who receive our heritage will say, this was their finest hour. I love you. Walk in Christ. Bring Jesus. I invite you to pray with me. Lord, goodbyes can be difficult, but we understand that goodbyes are part of the dynamics of this life, and that you remain, and that you invite us wherever we are and whatever we're doing to walk alongside you and to remember our roots. And so, Lord, we lift up this congregation together, that in whatever comes into the future, whatever surprises, whatever challenges, whatever celebrations, that you will be powerfully present. We lift to you, Reverends Lindsay and John, that you might bless them and strengthen them and bring them fully prepared for their ministry among your people. We also pray for those who will be leaving, for Pastor Bob, for Anne, for myself, that you might cover us with your protection and lead us in directions as we continue to serve the body of Christ. Lord, we pray for a world in fear and communities torn apart. And we pray for the church here and everywhere, that this might indeed be, by our actions, by our prayers, by our voice, our finest hour. And that in all things, we will exhibit your glory. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen."
Hi, everybody. It's Kate. Chris and I used to bless our kids with a verse from the book of Matthew that said, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. In the same way, let your light shine before others so they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." I can't think of a better illustration of the blessing that Pastor Sherry, Pastor Bob, and Anne have given us over the days, weeks, months, years, and even decades of their service to us, and we are so grateful. Especially now, let us let our light shine brightly for others.
Hello, my name is Chris Acharian, and I'm the chair of the administrative board here at Brighton First, and it is my honor and privilege, but also my burden, to have to lead our farewell liturgy for our pastor, Sherry Parker Lewis. Sherry and I met back in 2002 when both of us had just moved to the little town of Chesaning, and my wife and I had joined the church, and Sherry had just been appointed as head pastor. We both met at the basement party of Bob Rohde, who was at the time, I believe, the chair of the administrative board at the church there. So I now pass it over to our pastor.
Alrighty. Members and friends of First United Methodist Church, I thank you for the love and support you have shown me in these 12 years of ministry with you. I am grateful for the ways you accepted and encouraged my leadership. I ask forgiveness for the mistakes I've made. As I leave, I carry with me all that I have learned here.
We receive your thankfulness, offer forgiveness, and accept that you now leave to serve the church through the United Methodist Foundation of Michigan. Please join me. We express our gratitude for your time among us. We ask your forgiveness for our mistakes, your influence on our faith and faithfulness, will not leave with your departure.
I accept your gratitude and forgiveness, and I forgive you, trusting that our time together and our parting are pleasing to God. I release you from turning to me and depending on me. I know that you will continue in dynamic and faithful ministry. I will pray for you and for your new pastors, Reverend Lindsay Hall and Reverend John Reynolds.
Will you all please join me in prayer? Eternal God, whose steadfast love for us is from everlasting to everlasting, we give you thanks for cherished memories and bless Pastor Sherry's continuing service in your name. We commend one another into your care as we move ahead in hope. Bind us together in your love forever. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Good morning. It is such a privilege to have been asked to say a few words about Pastor Sherry on this, her last Sunday with First Church. I remember the winter of 2008, and I was sitting in the lower level of our church with the rest of the SPRC. We were anxiously awaiting to meet our new senior pastor. In walked Sherry. I took one look at her and I proclaimed across the room, "Hey, I know you." Sherry stopped and looked at me. It was clear she had no idea who I was, yet she found the grace within her soul to flash me a smile like she did. You see, several months prior, I met Pastor Sherry at a funeral over which she was presiding while she was serving at Chesaning United Methodist Church. And I recall commenting to my family at that time what a wonderful preacher she was. It was clear she had a deep connection with her congregation and could preach the Word of God so passionately. It was just a delight. And now I was thrilled that she was going to be our pastor. Over the last 12 years, Pastor Sherry, you have brought vision, grace, peace, and compassion to our church. Your exceptional administrative skills in forming a first-class team of staff and laity, setting goals and developing a strategy to meet those goals, is only surpassed by your ability to preach the Word of God in meaningful and relational ways. You have given your whole heart and soul to our church through tireless hours of committee meetings and planning, pastoral care, faith development, and in so many other ways. But not only are you special to us, you are also well respected and liked in the community. Whether it's by a local pastor or a fellow Rotarian or someone that you just meet along the way at a parade, a festival, or just walking in town, you have positively impacted and have transformed many lives in this community and beyond through connection and mission. Know God, love God, serve God is our church's mission. But I truly believe it's your personal creed. Our gratitude for all that you have done to grow our faith community and all that you have taught us is immense. From VCI to Merging Brighton and Whitmore Lake churches and everything in between, we appreciate your leadership, humility, and grace. And while I, like many others on this day, have a heavy heart, I take solace in the fact in knowing that you have used your immense gifts to better our church. You have bettered us personally. And I know that as you continue on, you will continue to use those gifts for the benefit of the United Methodist Foundation and all those churches that you serve along the way. Now, there's no way possible that I can express the words and sentiments of the congregation on this day. But as I think about you and your time at First Church, one of my favorite quotes from Flavia Whedon comes to mind. Some people come into our lives and quickly go. Some people move our souls to dance. They awaken us to a new understanding with the passing whisper of their wisdom. Some people make the sky more beautiful to gaze upon. They stay in our lives for a while, leave footprints on our hearts, and we are never, ever the same. Pastor Sherry, thank you for embedding your footprints on our hearts. May God continue to bless you and Pastor George as you continue on your journey.
Now go, trusting that by the very grace of God, we are rooted in the faith. We are built on the rock of Jesus Christ, and we walk in Christ in powerful ways so that this world will be a better place. Go in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Go in peace. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You are invited to take part in this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of our community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn more or plan to visit us in person at one of our two locations once it is safe to do so. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.